Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. President Trump plans to use his key address tomorrow at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, to try to convince Americans he can make housing more affordable. Greenland is expected to be another headline. Trump has threatened a 10% import tax starting in February on goods from eight nations that oppose his bid to acquire Greenland. Speaking in Davos, Danish Minister for Economic Affairs Stephanie Loos says tariffs could hurt multiple economies.
Under no circumstances should more tariffs be the way forward. Having said that, then it's obvious that more tariffs will hurt both the European economy and the American economy. And the threats that we are facing right now towards both the Kingdom of Denmark and also the side effects for the European economy, the transatlantic relationship, taking that into account, of course, we shouldn't rule out any answers from the European community to the situation that we are facing.
Meanwhile, Trump has tied his stance on Greenland to not getting the Nobel Peace Prize. AP correspondent Ben Thomas has more.
In a weekend text exchange with Norway's prime minister, President Trump said after not winning last year's Nobel Peace Prize, he no longer feels an obligation to think purely of peace. Trump has principally cited national security for his desire to take control of Greenland, and the White House has not ruled out using force. European countries have sent troops to the Arctic region in recent days, and Swedish Defense Minister Paul Jonsson says they're now looking at setting up a more permanent military presence.
Right now, we're doing what was called a reconnaissance tour in order to identify what kind of needs there are when it comes to infrastructure and exercises and so forth. And I think this could be a way forward.
I'm Ben Thomas.
This is AP News. An explosion in Kabul has killed at least seven people and injured many more. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma has more.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for an explosion at a Chinese restaurant in Afghanistan's capital that killed at least seven people, including a Chinese national. The militant group had said in a statement late Monday that a suicide bomber had entered the premises frequented by Chinese nationals in the city and detonated an explosive vest during a gathering. The group had said 25 people were killed or wounded in the attack, including Taliban guards. The details, though, couldn't be independently verified. The IS claim corresponds in style to previous ones issued by the group, and it included a further threat against Chinese nationals in Afghanistan, linking the attack to China's treatment of Uyghur Muslims. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More on this story at apnews.com. I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is going to attend arguments Wednesday before the Supreme Court. At issue before the High Court is whether President Trump can fire Fed Governor Lisa Cook. A source tells the AP Powell will be there in person. The president accused Cook of mortgage fraud, an allegation she has denied.
But no, she seems to have had an infraction, and she can't have an infraction, especially that infraction, because she's in charge of, if you think about it, mortgages.
Powell himself is facing a Trump administration investigation over spending on renovations at Fed headquarters.
This unprecedented action should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure.
President Trump has pushed Powell to be more aggressive, cutting interest rates. Ed Donahue, Washington.
There's been another death in custody of an immigration detainee at the sprawling Camp Montana East tent complex in El Paso, Texas. A statement from Immigration and Customs Enforcement says 36-year-old Victor Manuel Diaz was found dead in his room in an apparent suicide on January 14th. Diaz, an immigrant from Nicaragua, was detained in Minnesota on January 6th. Minnesota's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is asking for a transparent investigation into what happened to him. Diaz died at the same facility where another another detainee, Geraldo Lunas Campos, died on January 2nd. ICE says staff members were trying to prevent Campos from killing himself, but another detainee says Campos died as he was being restrained, with at least one guard squeezing an arm around his neck. The El Paso County Medical Examiner's Office says a preliminary investigation found Campos' death of asphyxia from chest and neck compression would likely be ruled a homicide. ICE says the official cause of Diaz's death remains under investigation. I'm Jennifer King.
In Minnesota, a group of protesters disrupts Sunday services at City's Church in St. Paul, where one of the pastors, David Easterwood, apparently also heads the local ICE office. In a Facebook live stream on Black Lives Minnesota by Speak MPLS, protesters chant ICE out and justice for Renee Good as a different pastor tells them, shame on you, this is a house of God. Easterwood is listed on the church's site as a pastor and also appears in official court records as acting director of ICE's St. Paul office. The DOJ says it's investigating and any violations of federal law would be prosecuted. One protester tells the AP, when you have a local ICE leader who's also a pastor, we can't sit back idly and watch people go and be led astray. I'm Julie Walker.
Mock MAGA hats are becoming a symbol of protest in Denmark as opposition grows to U.S. President Donald Trump's renewed rhetoric about seizing Greenland. That's amid tensions over U.S. aims to acquire the semi-autonomous island nation. Red baseball caps spoofing Donald Trump's iconic hats have become a symbol of Danish and Greenlandic defiance against threats of the U.S. president to seize the frozen territory. Instead of Make America Great Again, the caps are emblazoned with slogans, Make America Go Away.
Of course, they think it's funny, but first of all, they want to show their support for to the people from Greenland.
That's 58-year-old store owner and cap designer Jesper Rabe Tonneson.
If I was an artist, I've made music, I could do a contribute to this, but now I am making clothing and creative things, so that's what I could do.
Tennyson says they've ordered thousands more caps. All profits, the store owner says, will be donated to a Greenlandic children's charity. I'm Haya Punjwani.
A U.S. citizen identified as Charles Wayne Zimmerman was handed a 5-year sentence by the court in Russia's Black Sea resort of Sochi after a rifle was found on his yacht in June. Russian customs officials found the weapon while inspecting it upon arrival in Sochi. The regional court's press service said in a statement that Zimmerman told them he traveled to Russia to meet a woman he had previously contacted online, and he argued that he had bought the gun for self-defense and was unaware he wasn't allowed to keep it on his yacht. Zimmerman is one of few Americans who remain in Russian custody after a series of high-profile prisoner exchanges with the U.S. in recent years. I'm Julie Walker.
At least 8 more countries say the United States has invited them to join President Donald Trump's new Board of Peace overseeing next steps for Gaza. A U.S. official has confirmed that a $1 billion contribution secures a permanent membership, while a 3-year appointment requires no contribution. India, Jordan, Australia, Greece, Cyprus, and Pakistan say they received invitations, and Hungary and Vietnam say they've accepted theirs. Australian Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles said that his government welcomed the invitation.
We need to see that take hold. We need to see the parties in the Middle East work with this peace arrangement, because we need to see an end to the conflict. We need to see humanitarian assistance brought forward, and we need to see that part of the world rebuilt.
The official member list is expected in the coming days. The Board of World Leaders could rival the UN Security Council, which U.S. vetoes have blocked from taking action to end the war. I'm Haya Punjwani.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says sending active duty soldiers to Minnesota for an immigration crackdown is ridiculous and unconstitutional. He's urging protesters to remain peaceful. He's also responding to reports that the DOJ is investigating him and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
If the rumors are true, this is deeply concerning.
He also said Sunday on ABC This Week he has not gotten a subpoena and that...
Here we have a freedom of speech, and we do not negotiate those rights away.
The Pentagon ordering about 1,500 active duty soldiers based in Alaska specializing in operating in Arctic conditions to be ready in case of possible deployment to Minnesota, according to two defense officials. President Trump had threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act, but has since backed off. A U.S. district judge has ruled federal officers in a Minneapolis area immigration operation cannot detain or tear gas peaceful protesters who are not obstructing authorities, including when these people are observing the agents. U.S. District Judge Kate Menendez ruling Friday in a case filed in December on behalf of six Minnesota activists. Thousands of people have been observing ICE officers enforcing the Trump administration's immigration crackdown in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area since early December. Government attorneys have argued the officers have been acting within their legal authority to enforce immigration laws and protect themselves. Federal agents and demonstrators have repeatedly clashed since the crackdown began, with confrontations escalating after an ICE agent fatally shot Renee Good on January 7th as she drove away from a scene. Against a backdrop of political division and upheaval, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, Bernice King, tells the Associated Press, Monday's holiday honoring her father's legacy couldn't come at a better time.
With everything going on, the one thing that I think Dr. King reminds people of is hope. And the ability to challenge injustice.
She says poverty, racism, and militarism that MLK identified as threats to a democratic society are very present under President Trump.
We see what's happening right now in our communities with ICE agents and the way in which they are dealing with people.
King is CEO of the King Center and says she's not sure what her father would make of the U.S. today, nearly six decades after his assassination. I'm Julie Walker.
Delcy Rodriguez, Venezuela's acting president, in an address on Friday talking about her country's oil reserves and attracting investment. Rodriguez became acting president after the U.S. military went into the country and captured Nicolas Maduro to face drug trafficking charges. But an Associated Press investigation has discovered that Rodriguez has been on the radar of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for years, and in 2022, she was labeled a priority target. That's according to records obtained by the AP and more than a half dozen current and former U.S. law enforcement officials. And the DEA has been keeping an intelligence file on Rodriguez since at least 2018, cataloging her known associates and allegations ranging from drug trafficking to gold smuggling. After Maduro's capture, President Donald Trump portrayed Rodriguez as the preferred partner of the U.S. to stabilize Venezuela. I'm Donna Water.
Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado says she's confident her country will eventually transition to democracy.
We want to live with dignity. We want to live with the result of our work, our effort, a society based in merit.
Speaking at the Heritage Foundation, Machado says the people of Venezuela are ready for change.
Venezuela is going to be free, and that's going to be achieved with the support of the people of the United States.
President Trump says he was impressed by Machado during her visit Thursday at the White House.
She's a very fine woman, and we'll be talking again.
But she remains in a difficult position. Trump has endorsed Nicolas Maduro's longtime right hand, Delcy Rodriguez, as the country's leader for now. And sources say that CIA Director John Ratcliffe visited Venezuela Thursday to talk with the acting president about economic cooperation and U.S. demands on drug trafficking. Jennifer King, Washington.
Lawyers for the Utah man charged with killing conservative activist Charlie Kirk are trying to disqualify prosecutors. Tyler Robinson's attorney, Richard Novak, is alleging a conflict of interest because the 18-year-old daughter of a deputy county attorney involved in the case was at the rally where Charlie Kirk was shot and killed.
And experienced and witnessed certain things. We didn't make this up out of whole cloth. We didn't grab onto some piece of discovery and say, a wedge, a tactic.
An affidavit presented by prosecutors says the daughter did not see the shooting but heard a loud pop. This is Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray.
This is ambush and another stalling tactic to delay these proceedings.
The defense also says the rush to seek the death penalty against Robinson is evidence of strong emotional reactions by prosecutors, and the entire team should be disqualified. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Department of Homeland Security says officers were responding to violent protesters in Santa Ana, California, when 21-year-old Caden Rumler was blinded in one eye. Rumler tells the Associated Press he's facing a drastically different life, no longer has depth perception, and lost the ability to drive.
My surgeon that worked on it, he said, yeah, he's almost certain I'll never see out of it again.
In widely seen video taken by OC Hawk on January 9th, officers are seen on the steps of the Orange County Civic Complex clashing with the group protesting the shooting of Renee Good. As one protester with a bullhorn is dragged away, Rumler steps forward and is shot in the eye at close range with a non-lethal projectile.
If we are met with violence for peacefully speaking our mind, then that means we do not have that First Amendment right.
Rumler's lawyer says his doctors want to know what kind of bullet was used because plastic and metal shards remain in his skull. I'm Jennifer King.
Federal auto safety regulators have given a 5-week extension for Tesla to respond to allegations that its vehicles have broken traffic laws while operating in what the electric automaker calls full self-driving mode. Tesla now has up until February 23rd to answer the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration's request for information. The original deadline was January 19th. The preliminary investigation of Tesla's full self-driving feature was opened in early October of last year after the NHTSA said it collected dozens of reports of the cars running red lights or driving on the wrong side of the road, sometimes crashing into other vehicles and causing injuries. I'm Haya Punjwani.
The Supreme Court will hear an appeal from a popular weed killer's maker to block thousands of lawsuits. Bayer faces state lawsuits alleging it did not warn people that Roundup could cause cancer. The High Court will consider whether the EPA's approval of Roundup without a cancer warning should rule out the suits. Some studies have associated Roundup's key ingredient with cancer, but the EPA has said the ingredient is not likely to cause the disease in humans when used as directed. The Trump administration has weighed in on Bayer's behalf. That both reverses the Biden administration's position and puts this administration at odds with some supporters who are against giving Bayer the legal immunity it wants. President Trump has taken an unusual step, thanking Iran's government. The president says Tehran was going to hang more than 800 political prisoners.
And I greatly respect the fact that they canceled that.
That comes after the president spent days suggesting the U.S. military might strike Iran if the government started mass killings amid widespread protests. An Arab diplomat says several Mideast allies have urged him to hold off. Asked who might have convinced him to back down, at least for now.
Nobody convinced me. I convinced myself.
Saying the cancellation of the hangings had a big impact. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
World-famous actresses, first ladies, fashionistas, Valentino dressed them all. The Italian fashion designer, known for his signature red, died at 93 in Rome. Valentino Garavani's foundation announcing his passing Monday. His career began in the 1960s until retirement in 2008. Along the way, he told the AP,
I still really motivated because I love my job very, very much.
And what he loved about designing.
I love making women sensational, glamorous.
Valentino was born into a well-off northern Italian family. He said it was his childhood love of cinema that set him down the fashion path. He will lie in repose in Rome Wednesday and Thursday with a Friday funeral. Police in New York City say Kiana Underwood, a former Nickelodeon child star, was killed Friday in a hit and run in Brooklyn. She was 33. According to police, Underwood was crossing an intersection in Brownsville when a black Ford Explorer SUV hit her. In the morning, while lying on the street, she was then subsequently struck by another car, a black and gray sedan. Police say both drivers left the scene and they are investigating. Underwood starred in Nickelodeon's popular children's sketch comedy show All That over 7 episodes in 2005. Between 1999 and 2004, Underwood voiced the character Fuchsia Glover in the Nick Jr. show Little Bill. She also spent a year playing Little Inez in the first national tour of Hairspray. Julie Walker, New York.
It was white out. No, you could barely see it.
Fueled by the Great Lakes, snow blanketed Michigan Monday, triggering a massive pileup on a highway southwest of Grand Rapids. Pedro Mata Jr. had been driving a plow truck.
It was a little scary just listening to everything, just the bangs and the booms behind you.
More than 100 vehicles colliding. Jeff Westfeld with Grand Valley Towing.
Full-blown accidents to winch outs, jackknife semis.
As the blizzard ebbed, Mata says he saw some trucks jackknifed, others swerving to avoid more collisions.
At that point, I just veered off to the left side of the median and chose to go over the ditch instead of colliding with any of the trucks, and was more worried about being hit from behind.
Michigan State Police reported numerous injuries, but no deaths. I'm Ben Thomas.
After centuries of men holding Virginia's top office, Abigail Spanberger is the state's first female governor.
I, Abigail Davis Spanberger, do solemnly swear.
The Democrat was sworn in Saturday wearing all white, while Virginia tradition calls for governors to wear mourning coats.
The history and the gravity of this moment are not lost on me.
Spanberger also echoing words of the state's first governor.
Let us not split into factions which would destroy that union upon which our existence hangs.
Two other Democrats were also sworn in. Ghazala Hashmi, the first Muslim woman to serve in statewide office in the U.S., is the new lieutenant governor. Jay Jones is the first black person elected attorney general in Virginia. I'm Julie Walker.
The FBI, which is conducting an investigation with tribal police, isn't commenting about Friday's discovery of the body of an 8-year-old girl who went missing on tribal lands in northern Arizona Thursday evening. Navajo Nation officials say Malika Boone's death is devastating. Her disappearance led to officials issuing a turquoise alert, an alert system for Native Americans who've gone missing. In Arizona, the legislation creating the alert is referred to as Emily's Law, named after Emily Pike, who disappeared after leaving a group home in Mesa, Arizona. Her remains were found last February, spurring a resurgence of activism to bring more awareness to the disproportionate number of disappearances and violent deaths in some Native American communities. I'm Donna Water.
A drunk driver has been sentenced to 24 years to life in prison for killing four people at a 4th of July picnic in New York City. Daniel Hayden, who worked as a substance abuse counselor and wrote a book on addiction, was convicted of murder and other charges. Prosecutors say in 2024, he drove a Ford F-150 at high speed through a fence and did not stop until he hit a family and friends celebrating at a park in Lower Manhattan. The truck stopped just feet from Helena Herrera, its momentum halted by bodies trapped underneath. Herrera says she is still haunted by the fact that the only reason she is still alive is that the bodies of her best friend and others is what actually stopped the truck. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
U.S. flu activity fell for a second week, but experts are worried that the season is far from over. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention posted the latest data showing a big drop in flu hospitalizations and a smaller but significant decrease in medical office visits due to flu-like illness. The number of states reporting high flu activity also fell from 44 to 36. But that doesn't mean the season is over, especially for the flu. CDC officials say that second surges in flu activity often happen after the winter holidays. So far this season, there have been at least 18 million flu illnesses and 230,000 hospitalizations. I'm Haya Panjwani.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Indiana has won its first national championship in football. The university, once best known for basketball, capped a perfect 16-0 season by prevailing over Miami 27-21 in the college football playoff title game. Heisman Trophy winner Fernando Mendoza sealed the victory by bulldozing his way into the end zone on a 12-yard run at 9:18 of the fourth quarter. Miami's Carson Beck finished with a touchdown and a game-sealing interception, seeking a winning touchdown in the final minute. The Hurricanes were denied their sixth national title. NFL, the Titans hired Robert Saleh and the Dolphins hired Jeff Hafley as their new coaches. The Buffalo Bills have fired coach Sean McDermott after the team again failed to reach the Super Bowl in his 9 seasons. The move came 2 days after the Bills were eliminated with a 33-30 overtime loss at Denver in the divisional round of the playoffs. The Bills went 12-5 in the regular regular season and saw their five-year reign atop the AFC East end. McDermott helped transform the franchise into a perennial winner, yet Buffalo became the NFL's first team to win a playoff round in six consecutive years but not reach the Super Bowl. The NBA has revealed its starters for the 75th All-Star Game. Reigning NBA MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Thunder headlines the Western Conference starters. He's joined by 12-time All-Star Stephen Curry of the Warriors, 3-time MVP Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, Luka Doncic of the Lakers, and Victor Wembanyama of the Spurs. 2-time MVP and 10-time All-Star Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks anchors the Eastern Conference starters, along with Boston's Jaylen Brown, New York's Jalen Brunson, Detroit's Cade Cunningham, and Philadelphia's Tyrese Maxey. College hoops, Arizona is a first-time unanimous number one in the AP Top 25. Iowa cracked the top 10 in the women's poll for the first time since the Caitlin Clark era. And in tennis, Novak Djokovic and Iga Swiatek won their first-round matches at the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic has equaled two all-time tennis records by starting his 21st Australian Open. He added another milestone Monday night with his 100th win at Melbourne Park. The 38-year-old Djokovic is now 110 at the Australian Open, where he's won 10 titles. By starting his 21st Australian Open campaign, he equaled the tournament record held by Roger Federer. By starting his 81st Grand Slam tournament, he equaled another record that Federer shared with Feliciano Lopez. College football leaders have given every indication that they remain stuck in a year-long debate about expanding the playoffs from 12 teams to 16 or beyond. Commissioners and school presidents met on the eve of the college football playoff title game, facing a Friday deadline from ESPN to decide on changes. The Big Ten and SEC have different visions of where the playoffs should go. The SEC wants a 16-team playoff. The Big Ten wants 24. If they can't agree, the playoff will stay at 12 teams for next season. Hundreds from the NASCAR community gathered at Charlotte's Bojangles Coliseum for a memorial service honoring former driver Greg Biffle, his family, and others killed in a plane crash last month. Biffle, his wife Christina, and their children were among the seven victims. The cause of the crash is under investigation. Close friend Garrett Mitchell spoke at the service, urging people to, quote, be like Biff, end quote, by taking opportunities and helping others. Biffle's niece Jordan also shared heartfelt memories.
Greg, Christina, Ryder, and Emma lived fully, loved deeply, and gave freely. Their lives remind us that what matters isn't how long we're here, but how we use the time we're given and how fiercely we love while we're here.
The crash left the NASCAR community shaken. Bo Bichette and the New York Mets have agreed to a three-year, $126 million contract, a person familiar with the negotiations tells the Associated Press. Bichette, a two-time All-Star shortstop with the Toronto Blue Jays, will move to third base with the Mets, who have Francisco Lindor at short. Bichette can opt out of the deal after the first or second season. Elsewhere, three-time All-Star catcher JT Realmuto has agreed to a three-year, $45 million deal to stay with the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
The U.S. Embassy is advising caution for personnel in Guatemala, and the country's president, Bernardo Arevalo, declared a state of emergency amid a wave of suspected gang attacks. The violence began Saturday with coordinated prison riots, where inmates at three prisons held guards hostage. That was followed by attacks against police across the capital on Sunday. Guatemala's National Civil Police Director, David Custodio Botello, said nine officers have died and several are critically wounded. President Arevalo pledged a forceful response as he spoke at a ceremony for the fallen officers. We will not rest, and we will spare no resources in punishing, pursuing, and bringing to justice those responsible for these crimes. Residents interviewed by the Associated Press spoke of feeling unsafe in their own neighborhoods.
Muy difícil, la verdad que muy difícil.
Officials said the unrest was driven by gang demands for privileges for members and leaders. I'm Jennifer King.
The Orthodox Christian faithful are celebrating Epiphany, commemorating the baptism of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. To millions of Ethiopians, it's an important religious holiday, nearly as significant as Easter and Christmas. Joyful events are held across the country, and particularly at Batu, located on the western shore of Lake Dambo, drawing thousands of pilgrims who enter the lake waters after priests bless them, symbolically reenacting baptism and embracing the festival's themes of purification, renewal and faith. George James from Italy was in the thick of it.
I'm impressed by the beauty of the place, the mood, the vibes. You can feel it, you can have an experience of this lake, these people, the celebration, what you're celebrating is amazing.
TIMCAT was inscribed by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization as an intangible cultural heritage of humanity in 2019. Donald Trump says he would charge a 10% import tax starting in February on goods from 8 European nations, including the UK, because of their opposition to American control of Greenland, setting up a potentially dangerous test of US partnerships in Europe. Starmer says Britain supports the fundamental right of Greenland and Denmark to decide the future of the Arctic island. He told the media on Monday a tariffs war with NATO allies over Greenland must be avoided.
Tariffs should not be used against allies in this way. In relation to the escalation, look, a tariff war is in nobody's interests. And we have not got to that stage. And my focus, therefore, is making sure we don't get to that stage. And that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Trump has argued Russia and China might try to take over Greenland. The hacker's video, aired Sunday night in Iran, contained two clips of exiled Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, then included footage of security forces and others in what appeared to be Iranian police uniforms, who claimed, without offering evidence, others had laid down their weapons and swore an oath of allegiance to the people. The semi-official Fars news agency quoted a statement from the state broadcaster acknowledging that the signal in some areas of the country was momentarily disrupted by an unknown source. The move comes as the death toll in a crackdown by authorities that smothered demonstrations reached at least 3,900 people killed. Activists say they fear the number will grow far higher as information leaks out of the country, still gripped by the government's decision to shut down the internet. Harry, also known as the Duke of Sussex, is the lead litigant in a case full of high-profile plaintiffs who accused the publisher of the Daily Mail of invading their privacy by using unlawful information gathering tactics to snoop on them for sensational headlines. The seven plaintiffs, including Elton John and actors Elizabeth Hurley and Sadie Frost, alleged that Associated Newspapers Limited hired private investigators to bug their cars, gain access to their private records, and eavesdrop on their phone calls. The publisher has denied the allegations, calling them preposterous. The trial in London's High Court is expected to last 9 weeks and will see the return of Harry to the witness box for the second time since he made history in 2023 by becoming the first senior member of the royal family to testify in more than a century. Video footage released by the Guardia Civil shows rescue workers evacuating the injured as they investigate the rubble. The collision occurred when the tail end of a train travelling between Malaga and Madrid with some 300 passengers went off the rails near Cordoba at 7:45 p.m. Spanish time. It slammed into a train coming from Madrid to Huelva, another southern Spanish city, according to rail operator Adif. The Spanish Red Cross has set up a health centre in the town of Adamuz near the crash site, offering assistance to emergency services and people seeking information. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The European Union and the countries of Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay and Paraguay, known as the Mercosur Bloc of South America, have formally signed a landmark trade agreement, bringing to an end more than a quarter century of negotiations to strengthen commercial ties. The signing ceremony happened Saturday in Paraguay's capital, Asunción. President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen.
We choose fair trade over tariffs. We choose a productive, long-term partnership over isolation.
The accord eliminates more than 90% tariffs on goods and services between the European and Mercosur markets. Some tariffs will progressively be cut over 10 to 15 years, and key farm products like beef will be limited by strict quotas. I'm Donna Warder.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.